This is the Kilt Father, Mark Gunn, and I had an email that came in from Kat. She was asking me about my Celtic Invasion vacations and pricings and money, and she's never traveled outside of the United States and is unfamiliar with how much things cost and whatnot. So I thought it would be a good time to talk a little bit about how much things do cost in when you're traveling abroad. But first, I want to thank Paige, who went from a silver patron of my podcast, my music, to a platinum member over on Patreon. So thank you so much, Paige. I appreciate you doing that. And if you want to find out how you can become a patron of this podcast and my music and whatnot, you can head on over to markgunn.net for more information. All right, so traveling the world, you know, I forget sometimes that many people haven't done much traveling, and I should think about this, because I remember the first trip I took, Celtic Invasion, I did to Italy. I ran into all sorts of money issues because I didn't plan ahead, and so I've made many adjustments over the years, and now I plan the trips, I price the trips so that I know I'm not going to lose money, and thus far I've been pretty successful. Now, the things that are paid for the Celtic Invasion of Cornwall, which is what I'm talking about this year at least, I don't remember the exact price, but what the trip covers is a land rate, the price, I think it's like about $2,400, I think, and that covers the land travel. Once you get to, we're basically flying to London, once you get to London, I cover most everything else, all the traveling, all the housing, until we get you back to the London once again to fly out. That stuff is all covered. Now, as far as food, I cover dinners and breakfasts, and lunches are typically up in the air a little bit. So sometimes I'll cover them, sometimes I won't, but I'm not technically responsible for them. You are technically responsible for your own lunches. And how much are these lunches in Europe? Well, it varies, you know, it depends on where you want to eat and how much you're willing to spend. You can find good meals, much the same price as in the United States. So if you know, look around for a $10 meal in the United States, it would be a 10-pound meal. Now, obviously, there's a conversion rate difference, and the pound typically is about 1.5 pounds to $1. Therefore, you must compensate for that, plan for that. So your $10 meal is going to cost you $15. Same with alcohol. Usually, I think, like, soft drinks go, like, 1 to 2 pounds, somewhere in that area, and so, again, that becomes 2 to 3 pounds when you're talking about the conversion. Alcohol, I know it, I don't exactly remember what alcohol is in the UK. I know in Ireland, your alcohol prices range from, I think, 3 to 6 or 7, sometimes 8 euros, so only the exchange rate's better. It's, I think, 1.3 euros to $1, so it's a bit better, but nevertheless, you have to plan for the worst there. So if you're planning on drinking a lot of alcohol, it can obviously get more expensive, and soft drinks are pretty expensive in both places, so you're trying to get a Coke or something, it's gonna cost you. You're better off getting, like, tap water if you just want something simple. And so meals, though, a lot of the times when I go for meals, I think my usual price is about the 10 to 15 pound range. So, you know, you're planning for, you know, 15 to 20 bucks. when you're looking at that stuff. Obviously, the other things you need when you're traveling is you need a passport, and here in the United States, it usually costs, I think, $70 to $100, depending on how soon you can do it, to get all the paperwork done. I think, I haven't looked in a long time, but you should plan on spending that as well. Now, airline tickets can vary once again. You can sometimes find some great prices if you're flying through Aer Lingus out of one of the big ports, which would be New York, Boston, and Chicago. But you obviously have to get to those locations, and it'll cost you $200 or $300 at least to get to one of those airports to fly to using one of the Aer Lingus pricing. Then you fly to Dublin and then hop over to London. Now, London is a big international airport, and therefore you can find some great prices. Kat is coming out of Atlanta. She said she found prices for $900, and I'm like, what the? Oh, Mike, that's incredible. coming from, I just checked the prices for coming out of Birmingham, and right now it's $1,900, which is obscene. But of course, you know, the prices usually drop between 3 and 6 months before you want to go. So I'll start looking actually in January and looking to see what the lowest I can get. And obviously, it's always tough trying to find the lowest prices. Usually, I expect to pay anywhere, you know, but I think probably about $1,200 is what I expect. When we flew into Belfast last year for the Celtic invasion of Donegal, it was like $1,500. But I've flown to, you know, Dublin for about $1,100 to $1,100 a few years back. So, and the other question is you know, stuff, if you, you can find like these great ports, like flying to Dublin, which might be a little bit cheaper, but is it worth the extra money to hop over to London? You know, you can find a flight to London from Dublin for probably even as low as, what, $20-$30, but it requires this hop. You have to, you know, you might have to transfer to a different airport or whatnot, and it, sometimes that's more hassle than it's worth. Especially if you're new and feeling uncertain, I'll pretty much usually suggest that you fly straight into the port that you want to go to. Like for me, when for the Celtic invasion of Donegal, we flew from Birmingham, and I got to flew into Belfast, straight into Belfast. Now, a lot of the people flew into Dublin and took the train up, which is in my opinion, a much better adventure. And if I didn't have a newborn baby and all this stuff, I might have considered actually doing that myself, just because it's a much more exciting, fun adventure. You get to experience different types of travel that you don't get to off that often here in the States. So I'm a big fan of trying to experiment. But if you're uncertain, or if you want to, you know, if you're not trying to save money, then, you know, just go for the cheapest flight you can get. And personally, I think London is one of those good ports of entry to travel to. So you should be pretty well off doing that. So are there any other expenses that need to be considered? Well, there's one other one that I like to think of with my Celtic invasions, and I should reconsider this, how I do this at some point. Usually when I do these Celtic invasions, we leave on a Saturday and we return on a Saturday. However, I always fly in. I usually leave on a Thursday, so that I arrive on a Friday and I can get over the jet lag so that on Saturday I'm ready to go. So that usually works well with more and more of my invaders. We all end up arriving on Friday, and then we get to spend a little bit of time, you know. Sometimes we spend a little bit of time together. This past year we went to we were in Belfast, so we went over to the Titanic Museum and walked around town, and I got to see Christy Moore perform live. Yes! He was awesome. But that was one of the benefits of you know, arriving early, is you get to catch up on stuff. I know one of our invaders, Selena, she went to bed and she slept. Now, that's actually an interesting point. You know, usually when they say the best way to get over jet lag is once you arrive, because usually you arrive, they recently changed this, but most flights arrive at, like, you know, in the morning, early morning, 7, 6, 8, 10. And the best way, they say, for you to get over jet lag is basically to stay up until 10 o'clock that night. But that's hard, of course. It can be very difficult because you're really tired. But it helps you get over it. So it's up to you. Like Selena, it worked wonders for her. She was in much better shape when the next day came around. And also, you know, when you're flying across the ocean, if you're flying, for instance, out of Atlanta, I think it's only like a 6-hour flight, maybe 7 tops, to get to Atlanta, to London, from Atlanta to London. And that's not, that's really, you don't get much sleep, you know, because usually the way the flights work, I've talked about this on a past podcast, but you board the airplane, about an hour and a half into the flight, they serve dinner. So you either need to already have eaten or brought food on the plane, or you wait around for them to serve you dinner before you even get to sleep. So you're getting, you know. And then an hour before the plane lands, they have breakfast. So you're basically getting like 3 to 4 hours of sleep on the airplane. Unless, again, you bring your own meals and just, you know, put in the earplugs and the eye mask and try to sleep on the airplane, which some people can do. I can do it sometimes, other times not so much. But that is my best suggestion there. Now, and I shouldn't forget that if you do arrive a day early, then you also have to end up paying for your hotel flight, your hotel for the trip. So there's that. And that's where I was saying earlier that I should consider making that an addendum part, where I can just book us all into a hotel early, but that's not happening this year. But those are your options for traveling and the money. I can't think of anything else. Anything else you want is pretty much, you know, buying gifts and whatnot. If there's some, you know, presents you want to get for stuff. I try to, you know, I remember a few years back, Kevin he brought all this money and I took care of everything. And he was like, well, dang it, I was trying to do this. Oh, that is the other thing, is that I do, even though I do cover meals, your drinks are on you. So if you want alcohol or something, you're pretty much going to have to pay for that. So keep that in mind. So I think that's about it. If you have any questions about my Celtic Invasion vacations or traveling abroad, I would love to answer your questions. So feel free to drop me online. You can do that at mark@markgun.com. Of course, if you enjoy this podcast, I'd love it if you would rate it on iTunes and Stitcher, particularly iTunes. I'm trying to get more ratings on that site, and I would love to get your thoughts and feedback. And, of course, you can head on over to KeltFather.com to find the show notes for this. And, of course, subscribe while you're there. And if you join my mailing list, you can also get a free album to listen, enjoy, and prepare for the trip by listening to my music. So that is all I have for now. And if you, that's a bit. If you have any other questions, drop me a line. I look forward to talking to you later. Sláinte.